Graham Leonard is with us, of course, to talk about volcanoes. And we know about the big ones, don't we? The familiar ones, the Ruapehu, the Taranaki, the Tarawera. What about the ones that don't get so much love or are somewhat lesser talked about? And GNS Principal Scientist Graham Leonard is with us to talk about some of these lesser known volcanic areas around the country. Atamarie, Graham, thank you for being here.
Kia ora.
This came from a listener question last time you were in.
It did.
Yeah. Tell us about some of the ones. I think it was Northland was the one that.
That's right.
Our questioner, whose name I'm sorry I've forgotten. But I think it was Northland that someone came to us with. And I have to say, I didn't know that they were in Northland.
Yes, people often don't realise there are volcanoes in some other spots than the places we're often talking about. Northland is a great example. It was a really good question, but we just didn't have time to get to it. So, Northland is a volcanic field much like Auckland. In fact, it's probably two different volcanic fields. One is the Kaikoura Bay of Islands area, and the other is around Whangarei. And I guess part of the reason we don't talk about them so much is they're not quite as frequently active, but also we don't have a third of the country's population living on top of it. Mm. But it's the same sort of thing.
Okay, so when you say they could be separate or they could be the same one, how would you know? What sort of demarcates one from the next?
This is a great fundamental question in volcanology. What is a volcano? So, if we remember back to Auckland, sometimes we think of it as one volcano because it's all coming from one magma source, but it's also about 53 little volcanoes every place it pops up. These volcanic fields are probably the hardest one to decide what's a separate volcano. And Northland has the same sort of field. So these are fields of scoria cones, lava flows, explosion craters, and they're spread out in a kind of a diffuse way from Whangarei right up through the Bay of Islands, right through Kaikoura. And you see these scoria cones. If you drive from Whangarei through to the Bay of Islands just soon getting out of Whangarei, you go past Kamo and you can see several little pointy hills, and those are little scoria cones. They're just like Mount Eden.
And they're live?
Well, they probably won't erupt again, just like Auckland. The magma is down there underneath, but each time it comes up, it kind of comes up in a different place. It's these little batches of what we call basalt magma. It makes black rock and scoria, just like in Auckland, and it's infrequently coming to the surface. So each time it breaks its way through, the crust is cold again, it follows a whole new path. It doesn't even know where the last little volcano was, and it pops up in a new place. So that's why we call them volcanic fields. They're kind of, there's a cluster in the Kaikoura Bay of Islands area, and there's a cluster down around near Whangarei. So we kind of think of that as two fields, but there isn't much distance between them. They're a bit further away than Auckland is. There's actually a lot of volcanism that had been happening south of Auckland too, in the Pukekohe area. The beautiful soils there for growing vegetables are all volcanic. And that's where it used to be active before Auckland. And then for some reason, it migrated slowly up into Auckland.
So we don't know why?
No, we don't really know why. In fact, we don't know a lot about why these intermittent back arc volcanoes or volcanoes not along the main line of volcanoes are there, but they are. Taranaki, Auckland, Northland, and then there are ones dotted behind the main line of volcanoes all the way up towards Tonga, and it's quite normal. Somehow a little bit of fluid deep down in the mantle under our crust is sneaking its way back and triggering much less often these further back volcanoes.
So what's the connection between I suppose that maybe it's the tectonics of this, the volcanoes and the way that the plates are meeting around New Zealand? Because people talk about Northland, I don't know how accurate this is, as the one place that you don't get earthquakes.
Well, then that's a bit
New
of a
Zealand.
Misnomer. Well, we talked about this during the earthquake segment. Everywhere in New Zealand can have earthquakes. It's just about how frequent they are. So even Northland or the Dunedin area and Auckland, we can have earthquakes there. They're just not as likely. And unfortunately, that means we haven't been doing as much on our reinforced masonry buildings as well. So it would be quite bad if they happened. So you're a bit further away from the plate boundary between the Pacific Plate and the Australian Plate. And as a refresher, the Pacific Plate is pushing under the North Island. and a chemical reaction about 100 kilometres down is creating that arc of volcanoes all the way from Ruapehu through Whakaari all the way to Tonga and all the way around the Pacific, actually. Mm. It's this Pacific ring of fire. Mm. And it mostly happens in a line that's really quite narrow, mm. all the way around the Pacific, above that subducting plate. It's going down at a diagonal under the North Island. I'm showing that with my hands.
Yes.
And at about 100K down, there's a chemical reaction. A bit of water comes out of the plate that's going down, the Pacific plate that's going down. Water comes out of the crystals in the rock, and it triggers a little bit of melting in the hot toffee that is the mantle. And that comes up as these wee pockets, and that's what drives all of our volcanoes. For some reason, some of that fluid is making its way further away from the plate boundary, further to the west, and right. popping up at Taranaki, popping up at Auckland, and dots all the way up along the chain towards Tonga.
Okay, so yeah. what we'd think of as being the kind of the volcanoes that are right on the line.
The arc, we call it an arc, yeah.
The arc, thank yep. you. I was also showing that with my hands, not very well. It's good for radio.
Making
we're doing
a great
all the
arc,
charades.
Though, yeah.
So the ones that are sort of bang on that arc are the Ruapehu.
Yes, exactly,
of the world.
Yeah. And you can see them ... Ruapehu, Tongariro, Taupo, Tarawera, Whakaari, ... Actually, the majority of them in the New Zealand area, in mm. our, I guess, our economic zone, the majority are offshore. We've got a huge piece of ocean there offshore, and there are many dozens mm. offshore. That's another of our lesser-known volcanic areas.
Mm, of course, we had a reminder of that with the Tonga
indeed
eruption that happened, 18 months ago, thereabouts. Now, I suppose if you follow that line, though, mm-hmm. If you carry on going north, you mentioned Whakaari, but what about Coromandel? That's pretty close.
That's right. And I think some people are aware Coromandel's volcanic, but it's all volcanoes. So Coromandel is old volcanoes. Coromandel is the fossil arc. The line of volcanoes used to go through the area from Hamilton through the Coromandel and all the way up to Tonga as a separate line that's now basically extinct. And it's because that subducting plate underneath the North Island mm-hmm. over millions of years, it's kept going down and it's steepened. And the place where the melting's happening is moving slowly, very slowly, southeast, east. And so the line used to go through Coromandel mm-hmm. and then about 5 million years ago, it shifted and went through Tauranga. So Tauranga is a city built on a whole bunch of volcanoes as well. Maunganui, Mount Maunganui, is a volcano.
Volcano.
Yeah, all of the hills around Tauranga are volcanoes. And now that's extinct as well. That line used to come through about 2 or 3 million years ago through Maungatautari. Mm-hmm. And then it moved again. And it's moved to the current line position from Ruapehu through Whakaari.
What's doing the movement?
It's the plate boundary, that downgoing subducting mm. plate. There's this diagonal piece of the Pacific plate going under the North Island. Mm-hmm. You can imagine that going down at, you know, a diagonal angle. Mm-hmm. And over time, it's going deeper and it's steepening and it's rolling back. So remember I said there's a special depth at about 100K down
yeah.
where a chemical reaction occurs and it makes volcanoes, it makes mm-hmm. magma. Well, if that slab, that plate that's going down, steepens, that line, that 100K depth moves back mm-hmm. towards the trench. It moves back towards the east. It moves towards Napier. I mean, ultimately, if it continues on for a few million more years, maybe it'll step to another line closer to Napier and it won't be going through the Ruapehu Whakaari line anymore.
Ha. Huh. Okay. Someone has sent in a question. Jack is saying, ask about the Takitimu Ranges in Southland.
Yes. So the South Island is full of volcanoes. And it's not just the Takitimus. It's mm-hmm. actually throughout Otago and the Canterbury area. Mm-hmm. We have an odd kind of diffuse volcanic area. There's a name for these volcanoes. I think they've just come up with this name to get the acronym. It's been described that away from the plate boundary, the whole of the Zealandia Te Rua Māui continent is also a diffuse alkaline magmatic province. DAMP is the acronym.
That's not a great acronym.
No, it
is
isn't. But it's a funny and unusual situation. And there's a concentration of these volcanoes popping up very occasionally throughout Otago, throughout Canterbury and all the way out to the Chathams. And they've been doing it for 80 million years. Mm-hmm. And they're still very occasionally popping off now. So you've got the Chathams itself is a good example. The south half of the Chathams is an 80-million-year-old volcano, and there's a remnant of it makes Pitt Island. And the north half is full of relatively geologically young volcanoes from, say, 1 to 20 million years old in the same place.
Does that account for the shape of Chatham, the main island? Because it's a pretty unusual shape,
it is
shape,
a very unusual
it?
Shape, and it's because of volcanoes, exactly. Yeah. So the bottom, the southern half, sorry, is a half remnant of a very old volcano, kind of like Banks Peninsula or a big shield.
Yeah.
And then the north is a funny mix. The flat part of it is schist and sedimentary rocks, and then on top of it are little mounds of submarine ash and lava, volcanism. The funny thing about them is they were all erupted underwater. And now they're sitting up above water. So there's all these little hills on the north half of the Chathams. And they used to be, when they formed, they were underwater volcanoes. And for a long time, maybe 20 million years. But for some reason now, they're sitting proud above the water. And actually, it's great because the ocean, with the end of the Ice Ages, has really risen. It's chewed its way into the Chathams. And it's eating away at all these little volcanoes. So we can see into the middle of them. If you lucky enough to go to the Chathams, and I really recommend it.
I have been to the Chathams. Awesome. It's an amazing place.
So there's these little hills all over the place, and the coast is cutting into them, and they're piles of kind of cruddy, altered ash, which is what happens when magma comes up under the ocean in the water, with little bits of lava pointing up into it. And you can see that in cross-section because those really active coastal cliffs are cutting into it. Huh. So the Chathams is a microcosm for that whole area through to Canterbury with Banks Peninsula, through to Dunedin. All of the Dunedin Peninsula is also one big volcanic complex. And then there's little spotted bits all through central Otago. Mm-hmm. One of the other youngest, beside the Chathams that we've got the age for, is in that area in Timaru. The reason you've got good rock at Timaru for a port is volcanic rock. And there's a little blob in Geraldine as well.
Okay. And so these, the ones in Southland as well that Jack, our texter, was talking about, what sort of age are they?
Well, so they're a whole mix. Some of those are really pretty old. This volcanism, this weak, diffuse volcanism, started popping up about 80 or 100 million years ago, back when we were off the edge of Gondwana land, and we started rifting away. And it's, for some reason, probably that cataclysm of the breakup of Gondwana land and the rifting away has messed up the crust and the mantle, and it, somehow that's leading to this little bit of leaking. So it's just been going on at different ages throughout the whole area. But you've mentioned Southland. Mm. Southland has a really unique active volcano.
Does it?
It does. Solander Island.
Okay. Solander Island is an active volcano. This is news to me.
It is about 40 kilometres offshore of Southland. And it is the first volcano to pop up on Earth's youngest subduction zone. So we talked about subduction zones earlier, so I try not to introduce too much jargon, but in the south of the South Island, the Australian plate is having a crack at subducting under the South Island. Mm-hmm. And it's just starting. So under Fiordland, the Australian plate is doing the reverse of the North Island, and the Australian plate is going under Fiordland. It's just starting to push down. We get big earthquakes there. You might remember back in the 2000s, we get magnitude 7s and greater down in the Sounds. And it's starting, remember, at that depth of about 100 kilometers down, as that plate's going down, you can trigger melting. And that melting has started to form volcanoes. And the very first volcano is Solander Island. And it's probably actually under the water quite a big volcano. It's about the size of Tongariro. We haven't got a very good map under the water of it.
That's pretty big.
Yes. And the island itself, reasonably small, Hauteri, it formed from eruptions as little as 20,000 years ago. And the interesting parallel is if I took Tongariro and I submerged it in water until just the Tongariro peak was the size of Hauteri Island, the rock that would be sitting there is about 20,000 years old at Tongariro, 20 to 50,000 years old. So meanwhile, the rest of Tongariro's had some pretty young eruptions. You know, in the north, we had one in 2012.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the question that the wider Solander Island volcano is actually really young and active, and we're trying to do more research on it.
That's probably a good thing. We should probably talk a bit about Mount Erebus as well. in sure. this context.
So Erebus isn't a New Zealand volcano, technically, but it's in the Ross Dependency. It's in the area that, you know, within the wider Antarctic Treaty that we're present and active. And right next to Scott Base and McMurdo, which is the big US base, is Erebus. And you know, Erebus is mostly known for that tragic 1979 air disaster where an airplane flew into a mountain. But that mountain is a very active volcano. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most active volcanoes that we have some connection to. It has a lava lake in the top of it at all times. There's an active lava lake sitting and steaming away in the top of Erebus, and quite regularly it's throwing out blobs of magma and releasing bits of ash. If you look at the shallow ice cores that our colleagues have drilled around Erebus, you know, to look at other Antarctic conditions, they find dozens of layers of ash from this volcano as well. So it's possibly one of the most active volcanoes we've really got in a New Zealand-related area.
Interesting stuff, Graham. Thank you, as ever. We're actually not going to have time, but we'll maybe get to this next time. More questions came in about volcanic ash and the building code. We'll maybe get to that next time. We've also had some interesting questions in this morning. What's the effect of an earthquake magnitude 8 on the Alpine Fault, causing increased risk of Mount Taranaki having a massive eruption? Maybe we'll talk about that one next time as well.
Sure, yeah. I love answering these questions and thinking through these really insightful ideas.
Awesome. Thank you very much for coming in. Graham Leonard there from GNS. And we will get to some of those other volcano questions next time. Thank you so much for getting in touch with us.